Welcome to Brick by Brick, where we begin to build the new you. Here's a simple truth. You're not perfect, and that's okay because you are actually awesome or on your way to being awesome. And with this podcast, we will begin to tackle the rough topics of life. We will journey to a place in which you used to be in order to get to the place in which you choose to be. You see, you were born to be amazing, and together you and I will help and make sure that you get there. Don't let anybody stop you, and never let anybody treat you any less than what you're actually worth. In order for you to get to this level, in order for you to get to this point, the first thing you must do is start seeing you through different eyes. And remember, keep smiling. It looks good on your face.
Welcome to this week's Brick by Brick, a motivational podcast with Antonio T. Smith Jr. and me, Tempest. And we're in the studio together right now. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I guess I am boss. I was just, I caught that you introduced yourself. So good job. You didn't say it loudly, right? And I'm looking at my stocks. My stocks have been down for 3 days in a row. So that's okay. We're going to need them to change that. So
that is
the stock gods, change my stocks.
The stock gods, okay.
Yeah, change my stocks. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. Dampened the mood with my 0.8% lost. I'm sorry. I was just looking at it. which is okay, guys. Which is okay. I'm a long-term investor, right? So just throw that out there. I do not have the knowledge to compete with day traders. I'm not even close. So the market always goes up. So I just ride it back up. Right now, though, since I am losing, you can guarantee as soon as we get out of the studio, I'll be throwing some more money in it so I can buy it at a low price. I'll show you that.
Oh, my God.
For sure. I'm a loser. Might as well buy some low prices. Anyway, go ahead.
So this week, we're still working on that list that I talked about last week.
Okay, so this is one of the ones.
So this
one of the ones I came up with.
Another Antonio T. Smith topic.
First time in this show, I came up with two topics back to back.
That's not true.
So I came up with some more.
Yes.
But see, I be talking and you be like, that's a topic. And I, okay, then that's a topic then. So
sometimes you actually come up with topics.
Cool. I like that. And then I forget about it, and then I never know what we're talking about because we never do it the next week when I come up with it. So, yeah, makes sense. Cool. So what are we talking about this one?
This week we are talking about the law of contentment.
Really? I came up with that one?
So let me preface this a little bit. So for those who don't know, in addition to multiple business owner? Is that fair to say?
Thank you very much. That is very fair to say. Very, very generous of you.
Multiple business owner?
You may have gave me too much props, but I appreciate it, brother. Thank you. I receive it.
Well, the work comes back to my office, so
I am a multiple business owner. I don't think I've ever just heard it.
Was
that
just too much?
That.
Oh,
okay. Oh, no. Go ahead. Shower me with compliments.
Okay. So in addition to being a multi-business owner, there's another word for that, and by the end of this podcast, I'll have it for you.
I'm sure.
Antonio is also a pastor. And a couple
pastor.
Of weeks. Yes. Okay. I'm sorry. He is a senior pastor.
That's not what I meant. I was
no,
just like
I
a
know,
pastor.
I know that's what you meant, but that's crazy for me to say that and not say this part. So he's a senior pastor, a founding pastor, I guess, at the Church for the Unchurched, located in Galveston, Texas. So if you're ever in the area, I buy. Meet the man himself. So anyway, a couple of months ago, we started a Bible study series called Possible and talked about financial freedom. So if you go back and listen to multiple podcast episodes, you'll hear him say he's financially intelligent. So he decided, no, I didn't mean that as, okay, I didn't mean that as a joke.
Self-proclaimed, I mean, the guy is really retarded, but, well.
No, that's not what I meant.
I'm just joking.
That's not what I meant.
The cabin break down in the studio. Go ahead.
That's not what I meant at all.
Oh, my God.
In a very good way.
I know. I just forget that when the boss jokes,
my gosh.
It's not taken the way I'm. I know. I forget that I'm the boss.
Well,
I joke.
Not only that, I have empathy. Come on.
I know. It's okay. Okay. Come on. No. I'm thankful that I am a multi business owner and I am financially intelligent. I sure appreciate you.
Oh my gosh. So anyway, we started a Bible study series called Possible, and he taught us so it's a financial freedom course, and he taught us basically like ways to, more than saving your money, it's understanding money, it's investing in yourself. So anyway, one week, I think like week two, talked about the law of contentment.
That's right.
I guess you were so moved by week two that you came up with it as its own topic.
Wow. Yeah. Actually, as you were talking, buying me time, I appreciate you since you're such a great assistant. You emailed me the PDF a long time ago, and I just went in my little iPhone 6 Plus and went in my iBooks and pulled it up. So, yeah, Apple's awesome. So this is going to be the easiest podcast that I'll ever do because this is the first time ever I'm going to actually have notes in front of me, right? So that's
wow.
Great. So I actually have what I talked about during the Law of Contentment. Wow. Awesome. So, yeah. So, should I hit it?
Go ahead.
All right. So, she's right. We talk about, I call it possible because, you know, being wealthy is possible. Now, that doesn't mean that you could be a billionaire. Well, you can be a billionaire. It doesn't mean you will be, but, you know, you can. And certainly, you know, you're unlimited. I believe that all of you can do whatever you want to do. But, law of contentment. This is, now I am a pastor, but this is more of a corporate podcast, so I'm not going to preach to you or anything like that, unless you want me to, but no, I'm not going to preach to you, I'm just joking. But I will tell you what I tell them, because it's very important. So like, it's like the first law of financial prosperity is the law of contentment, right? So as long as your yearnings exceed your earnings, you will always be in financial ruins. Like, don't miss this, right? Well, this is the law of contentment. Right? Now there are some naysayers. I remember when I was doing this now. It just came back in my head. But no, because if you're content, then that means that, you know, you're not succeeding right. Or someone was asking me now. I was like, no, don't confuse complacency with contentment. There's two totally different words, right? So we'll get there when we get there. As long as your yearnings exceed your earnings, you will always be in financial trouble. Here's the deal. If you're in a financial bind right now, it's because you want more than what you earn. Hear me so well. I'm so glad I picked this as a topic. Right? If I, you know what? I can kind of tell now the topics that I tell you. Let's talk about this one thing. Because, yeah, they totally right up my alley, right? Right. right. This is right. Who, like, you wouldn't come up with the law of contentment, right? That's something that I would totally
no.
Tell you. Yeah, because you have empathy. It'd be like how to find out you are enough, right? That was like 3 weeks ago, right? That was perfect. Right. So that was definitely you. So as long as you want more than what you have, you're going to always be in financial trouble. Not only will you always be in financial trouble, you're always going to be depressed. Like, stop just for a second here and realize that when you look around and you're going to get upset because you don't have what you want instead of looking around and appreciate what you actually have. Some of you right now, you're complaining about your car, right? And this is, I'm not preaching at you, but this is just real life. You're complaining about your car and how you don't have gas in it. But you're sitting in your car complaining about no gas. Like, that boggles me and bothers me. You're sitting in a blessing and complaining about it, right? That makes absolutely no sense. You're sitting in your house and you're complaining about the light bill. But you have a house.
But you have, and light.
And light. And lights, right? So the more you complain, the more you're going to continue to attract situations that are going to keep you complaining. The more you complain, the more it's going to alter your mood. The more it alters your mood, the more in a negative way, the more you're going to have negative and angry circumstances and negative angry people that are going to come in your life and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the first law of being prosperous is to be content with what you have. Don't be such an achiever to where you can't press pause and say, you know what, wow, look what I've accomplished. Your kids will appreciate you more by you pausing and looking at them and going, I have some great kids, instead of how are we going to eat today, right? No, you know, don't do that. Don't do that because it alters your mood, which alters everybody else's mood and things like that, right? So it's actually, you're more healthy when you're content with what you have. Life is much better from your sex drive to your happiness, right? It's just much better when you're happy with what
Wait,
you
what?
Have.
What
yes.
did you just say?
From your sex drive to your happiness. I did. I did, right? Like, right? So I totally did, right? That's, you know.
Oh,
not,
Lord.
I mean, pastor talking about sex. It is what it is, right? In fact, if we did that more often in the pool pit, we'd be less trouble.
Oh, that's
this is not that podcast,
day.
Right?
Okay.
There's another podcast out there. It's called Keep Walking by me. you'll get that on that podcast. This is not that podcast. Right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you opened the door for me to plug it. You opened the door for me to plug it. So, you know, I'm just saying.
Oh, my
right?
God. So, this has got to be the best day ever.
Since we're here, if you happen to believe like I believe or you like anything Christian, I have a Christian podcast, as I said.
Lord, have mercy.
I'll keep walking. Right, Rev Tony W A U, right? You can R E V, and then Tony, and then W A U. You can just go ahead and subscribe to that one too, and leave that one coming. Anyway, sorry, shameless plug. I'm sorry, but yeah.
Oh
hey,
my God.
Hey, you know,
sorry,
if you don't, if I didn't tell you, you never would have.
Hilarious.
Right? So, so there's five things. There's five things, and I'm gonna cover all five, and then we'll end. What I'll do is I'll cover all five. So you think of questions while I'm covering these five. And then
okay.
She'll be able to ask some questions. And it will be done. Wanting more brings more fatigue. Okay, let me preface this here. The law of contentment. The more content you are with what you have, the happier you will be. That's not to say you can't want more. You just can't want more than what you can earn. Like, that's the deal. You can't want more than what you're willing to do. But wanting more comes with side effects, right? So everything has a,
mm-hmm. a cause and effect.
Amen, cause and effect. So wanting more brings more fatigue. There's five things, and this is one, right? Wanting more brings more fatigue. The more you want more, you go, you know what? Oh, I've got to get up and go get it, and I've got to if no one's going to do it, it's got to be me, or if I don't do it, no one else will, right? And the more you go out there and work, the more tired you are, the more you're separated from your family, the more more basketball games you're missing with your kids, the more imaginary teacup dinners you're missing with your daughter, the more Christmases you're missing, I just met a guy, I certainly won't mention his name, very well-to-do, offered me a job, which I turned down. I thought about it, though, because it was a six-figure job, so I definitely thought about it. But I thought about it a whole lot, right? But, you don't just turn down six figures and not think about it. Yeah. What was it, like 2 weeks ago?
I don't know
right?
anybody that saved.
Okay. No, that's okay. Not even the same thing. We're just talking about being
no,
smart,
but
right?
you know what I mean. I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And the truth is, I turned down the job because I actually applied the law of contention. I'm happy with the fact that my time, so I'm retired, if you don't know, my time is mine. Like, and I just didn't think that six figures was worth my time because I travel the country, I volunteer at the Texas City, and I go ahead and give what's his name, George Dyson, I think, Pastor George. Mm-hmm. I go ahead and give him his props. It's the chaplain over there, the Texas City Youth Detention Center. I volunteer over there 2 days a week. I talk to the youth, right? And I didn't want to give that up. And things, I do that for the youth. Like, I do that for jailed youth, and I give them the same talks we're having. I give them the same talks, right, and those guys, they're awesome. I love those kids, and, and I talk to the long-term kids, the ones that are in there for 6 months or a year or something like that. Well, I talk to those kids. It's easier to get more, and then we're trying to work where I can get to the short-term kids. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But the point is, I love what I do, and to take this job would have took my time away, and I couldn't. Something would have had to give. And for me, helping people wasn't worth. I could find another way to get that income, right? I can help you, whoever you are, listener, get that income, and then we can get that income together by helping you, right? So, but that's me applying the law of contentment. Now, this is a real true story. Now, I'm going to mention the company. They were super nice. There's nothing wrong with the company, and the guy was super awesome, right? There's nothing wrong. I mean, they put it on the table. Absolutely great. But the deal was, I didn't want. In fact, you might even get to ask the question, Tavis, because I want to stay here for a second, right? I didn't want. I was satisfied with being happy with what I have. And that does not mean I don't want more. Believe me, we said last week, I have a goal for 2016 that's so ridiculous that if we get there, wow, like this whole podcast will change. Like, it's
okay,
just,
your
it's,
everyday
yeah.
goals are ridiculous. Let me just
yeah,
throw that
true.
Out there.
Yeah, they are, right? And so, and that's why I see that. So I have a defining moment. That's what we talked about last week for 2016. So I have like a defining moment. I don't really set goals. So I have defining moment. I have little bitty defining moment. What I call little bitty, but this does not. Right?
No.
And then I make my... Yeah, then I make my whole team follow, like, three pages of defining moments that I want to get to. Mm-hmm. And I tell them, here's what we need to do with all the organization, depending on what organization you're in, and we go and we do these every day until we get there, right? They're very hard to reach, but we get there. Anyway, they are very – that I do admit. They are hard to reach to, right? But the mere fact that that job would have fatigued me if I did that and tried to do this, right? Because I would have – had I not – understood the law of contentment. So basically, whenever you want more, you bring more fatigue. That's the point. I love what I do, and I would not have loved that. Now, if that would have been my passion, I would have took that job and not did what I'm doing right now. But I love what I do. I love talking to you. I love talking to the youth in the detention center. I love to preach to other people. But I love to do the speaking engagement I do. They have nothing to do with preaching, but self-help or things like that, which is preaching to me, but, whatever. I love these things, and I understand that. So the more you want, the more tired you're going to be for wanting it. There's a smarter way to do it by using what, OPE, other people's energy, right? Or more financially called leverage, right? You don't have to go do it. You can leverage. In this life, you're either being leveraged or you're leveraging someone, period, point blank. You're either the guy who owns the apartment complex or your guy renting that apartment, right? It doesn't matter. Either way, you're one or the other. The more you want, the more fatigue you're going to get. Number two, wanting bring more expenses, right? So, right, you got to, if you want, you got to go drive and go get it, right? That's gas. You got to eat while you're out. That's that. And when you go get it, guess what? It's another expense. And now you got to, right? The more you want, the more money it costs you. Number three, you actually going to have time to answer. You are going to have time to answer. I'm going to fly through these. Number three, wanting more brings more anxiety, right? The more you want, the more you can't sleep, right? Because if you're an achiever like me, and I know this from personal experience, my brain won't let me, like, my whole day is backwards. Like, so I wake up tired, but I go to sleep wide awake, right? Like, you know, I go to sleep. I wake up tired, but I go to sleep wide awake. Like, I rarely sleep. Right, and I'm trying to change that about myself, right? I'm trying to press pause more and just, so all this week, you know, and Tiffany can attest to it. I've just been sitting around, right, you know, just half, well, right?
My father's been quiet this week. Oh.
Very quiet. Yeah, very quiet. Yeah, because she, I would text, Tiffany would wake up to, I don't know, every time she wakes up. And it'd be 4 in the morning. Shit happened. It was fun reason. So we were talking about, I guess, a game or something. So that was okay. But she would wake. She's accustomed to waking up to a slew of instructions for me. So because I have this philosophy, you're gonna wake up to what I want you to do today. Like, right?
And
so
that's
what happened. Well, yeah. I need for you to wake up with our goals, right? Because with our goals. Now, they sound like my goals because I'm the executive, I own everything, right? But the truth is, I tie my organization. I find out the people really close to me, I find out what their dreams are, and then I build around their dreams. So when you fulfill one of my goals, you're actually fulfilling one of the other goals. But that's my leadership style. That may not work for you, but it works for this organization. So, but the more you have, the more you want, the more worry, the more anxiety, the more anxious you're going to be. Period, point blank, right? It's just the way it is. Wanting more brings more conflict, right? The more you out, the more your wife doesn't have you in. That's conflict. The more you out, the more your kids don't have you in. That's conflict. The more you out, the more is wear and tear on your car. That's conflict. The more you're out, the more money you spend. That's conflict. You name it. The more you're out, the more conflict it shall bring, right? So, I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. And lastly, wanting more brings more dissatisfaction, right? So you're looking at your life and you're like, oh, my God, you know, why can't I have this? Now, we've all said this. Now, come on, be honest. We've all said, if I just had 10 more $1,000, I'd be set. We've all said this, right? We've all said this. Here's one we've all said. If I just stayed in school. Oh, yeah. If I just went straight to school right after high school graduation. Where would I be? Man, right? And the more you say these things, the more you want that, the more dissatisfied about your life that you're going to be. Now, check this. If you're dissatisfied, you're not happy. And if you're not happy, what's the point of living? If you're not happy, then you can't get the divine connections you need, right? If you're not happy, people won't promote you because they don't want to work with people. No one wants to promote someone that they cannot stand to work with. Sorry, but this is the truth. You can't move up in your organization if you make everyone disgruntled because you're always disgruntled. If you're always negative, there are people, when you call them, the reason they don't answer their phone is because they saw your name and they didn't have time for the doo-doo cloud that you carry around with you all the time.
Amen.
Right, so So that's it. Those are the five things. So let me recap those just so you, because some of you may be writing. If you're driving, please don't write. Right. But besides that, the law of contentment simply states this here. As long as your yearnings exceed your earnings, you will always end up in financial troubles and ruin. Always. Always. It's that if you are in financial peril right now, this applies to you. And I don't care what you can deny it all you want to. But if you're in financial peril, it's because you spend more than what you make. You don't live off. You live past your means. You're living past your means, period, point blank. You didn't need that pair of shoes, but you wanted it, and you're wanting it exceeding your earnings. You didn't need that video game system. You didn't need that car that you're sitting in that's draining you. Right now you're paying $477 a month for a car, and you could have got another car, right? You didn't need that one. Right? Or maybe you don't even need a car. Maybe you live somewhere now. In Texas, it's kind of hard not to have a car because Texas is so big and we don't have, the South doesn't have, the whole South never.
But it's doable.
It's totally doable. It's totally doable. Public transport. Right. But see, the way America came up is that the governmental public transportation system with city government excelled on the East because it's so close. Right, it's so close. Like you got subways, you got trains, you got all these things because it was so close. That didn't catch on during the whole Manifest Destiny time because by the time it caught on, the automobile caught on too. Right, so that happened before the automobile in the East, but by the time it got to the South, Manifest Destiny, and this is just some American history for you, the automobile caught on. And so the whole, especially in Texas, Texas has been independent, rugged and independent, right? That's just what it is. So, you know, people with, and in Texas, I don't know where you guys are, but in Texas, 10 people can go to the same spot and they'll drive 10 different cars. I assure you they will. There will be no carpooling happening, right? So, you know, anyway, that's the mentality here in Texas, right? But my point is that, if you didn't need that car, and maybe you can deal without a car for a while, or maybe you can deal without this for a while. Do you really need cable? Can't you pay for Netflix $8 a month instead of the $138 a month you're paying? Right? There's so many different ways. Well, yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways to save money. I bring up these examples because I go through this every day when I'm talking to people. They'd be like, well, I can't. There's no way I can cut money. Really? Do you really need every single movie channel? Right? Do you really need that? You know, do you have to? You know, do you need two cars? Can you go down to one? Did you really have to get this car? Can you not refinance? Do you really need those shoes? It always comes back to that, right? Do you really need those shoes? Do you really need that outfit, right? And the deal is, if you're in financial ruin, the truth is you have a cash flow problem, more than likely, and the deal is you want more than what you earn. And you go, you know what, I deserve this. No, you don't. You deserve to be financially free. And if what you're about to, do you really need the iPhone? Really? Because 10 years from now, I assure you, your iPhone going to be obsolete, right? And at some point, they're going to move it to, like, computer chips or something. I don't know. Who knows, right? Everything has an end, right? Do you really need it? Did you really, you know, type thing? You kind of get the 6, can you just get the 4? I think they're giving away the 4 for free, right? Or the 5 for, like, 99 cents or so. Who knows? I don't know. The point is, when you want more than what you get, than what you earn, you're going to stay in financial trouble. So back to the five things. Wanting more brings fatigue, expenses, more anxiety, more conflict, more dissatisfaction. That's the law of contentment. Be happy with what you have, and then it would lead you to a healthy process of getting more. Any questions?
I do.
Okay.
Let's go back. I think it's 5.4, wanting more brings more conflict, you said?
Sure. Yep, that's it.
Like you talked about, like, you want more, you're spending less time with your family, things like that. But what if, like, you're a single parent? Like, you have to, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to earn a living for your family, so you're not going to be there. Like, how do you explain that to your kids? Like, I want to be here, but I can't be here all the time. Oh, I have to miss a football game because I have to work so we can eat next week, you know?
Sure, sure, sure. That's a very, I'm glad you asked such a very fair question. For one, let's go backwards for a second. Because,
okay.
And first off, let me just say, all single parents, God bless you. You're superheroes. You don't wear a cape, but I assure you, your children don't have to look into a comic book to see a superhero. They look at you every day and see a superhero. That's male or female, single parent or not. You know, I mean, male or not, or female or not. Whether you're a single dad or a single mother, God bless you. You're awesome. Let me just say that. Now, moving a little bit further from that, you can still manage your money poorly, and that's the reason why you have to be out all the time. Right? So there's no reason. I'm going to sound insensitive. There is. Manage your money better, right? Now, if you have a low-paying job because that's kind of the way things work, understandable. And so if by chance that you have no other choice to go out there and work hard, that's okay. Then that's when you take the philosophy of what I had to do with my family. I had to sit down and talk to my wife. Something about our finances is not working. I'm going to have to think, get a mentor, blah, blah, blah. We're going to give up everything now. And for 4 years, we didn't have cable. And thank God I have a wife that, you know, is awesome, right? And so she stuck it out with me. We didn't even find out about Netflix, even though we knew about it. We didn't even get Netflix to the very end, right? So we spent, like, a total 4 years without cable. We could have been watching Netflix the whole time. But, you know, anyway. But the deal is we gave up everything so we can get it back. I have all the movie cameras. I have a cable provider. Well, I don't have cable. I'll just go ahead and say it. I have DirecTV, right? So I have DirecTV. So I don't have cable. I have whatever, Dish, right? And I got every channel. There is nothing I don't have. I have every channel and I watch one. I watch History Channel. That's all I watch is History Channel. That's all I watch. I watch anything else but the History Channel. But my wife loves TV. She's a stay-at-home mom. And she earned it by giving everything up. So if you're a single mom, give everything up. Go out there and work hard. But you shouldn't be working hard to pay bills. You should be working hard investing in your future. Right? So, you know what? I'm glad you – good job, Tempest. So let me give you how you make this happen. Right? You pay yourself first, period, point blank. 10% of all you earn is yours to keep. That comes from The Richest Man in Babylon. I'm not even making this up. And I love this book, Richest Man in Babylon. In fact, almost every financial thing that I do today comes from The Richest Man in Babylon or Robert Kiyosaki, right, which is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Like, there are more people, but those two are the main two. And Jeffrey Combs is something just complete. He's just re-changed my thinking. But 10% of everything you earn is yours to keep. So I'm glad you brought this up, Tim. Let me tell you how. If you work hard right now as a single parent and you have to be away, you should be setting your life up to not be away anymore. Here's how you do it. You make $1,000 a month. 100 of that should go into savings, but not savings as you think. You should be turning your money into an army of money that makes money for you. Right? This is almost word for word, Richest Man in Babylon. Your gold should make you silver or gold, right? Your money should, now this is my version, your money should have babies and bring you back a family of generations of babies, right? Your money, your dime should become pennies. Your pennies should become more pennies. Your nickels should become pennies and nickels. Your dollars should become more dollars, right? Period, point blank. So everything you own, if you're not putting 10% away first to yourself, then you have failed. You have greatly failed. You've greatly failed, because how dare you love your credit card company more than you love yourself? Did that hit home? I know you got empathy. I wanted that one to hurt. I wanted that
it
one to hurt.
It did.
Okay. How dare you love, I don't want to call out names of companies, right? But at least not a negative.
Let me. Capital One.
Okay. Well, how dare you? Capital One is a great, great card company, because I actually have a Capital One credit card. I actually have a Capital One credit card. Right? Just paid my balance off yesterday. I do have a Capital One credit card. So I like Capital One. However, though, right? Dare you put Capital One? Capital One should never come before you. But that's the point here. So if your name is Priscilla, Capital One should never get more love than Priscilla, period. Right? Like, Capital One is not going to be at your funeral.
Yeah. I was going to say something horrible. Go ahead.
Well, no, don't do that. Don't do that, right? Right? But here's the deal. Everything you earn, 10% of that is yours to keep. Now you got a 90% left. Now, in my case, I'm Christian. I don't mean to push my beliefs on you. So here's how my money goes. 10% to God, 20% to myself, and it's, I live off of 70% of my income. The reason 20% is to myself is because I don't have any debt. I'm not in debt, right? But if I did have debt, here's what I would do. I would give 10% to myself. 10% of that would go to my debt. I wouldn't pay nothing more than 10% on my debt, period, point blank. This is from a rich man in Babylon. Your credit's already messed up. It can't get worse. 10% goes to your debt, whatever that is, because 35% of your credit is payment, your payment history. The other 35% is debt. And the other 30% is some miscellaneous thing, credit inquiries and, you know, things like that, right? So basically, 10% of your debt, you know, 10% of your income needs to go to your debt. So that's now 80%. And you teach yourself to live up to 80% of your income until you get to, you know, out of that situation, right? Or you can teach yourself how to live off of 70% of your income, which is just 70 cents for every dollar, and then you can have 10% go to yourself and 20% go to your debt. And then guess what happens? This is why 20% goes to me, because I got out of debt. And so now I did it 10, 10, 10, right? Because I'm Christian, so right, I give God 10, I give myself 10, and I gave my debt 10. But now that I'm out of debt, here's what I did that you do that I don't do. I didn't change my 70 to make it 80. I'm going to buy this now. No, I still live off of 70% of my income. I didn't change. I got used to it, so I just stayed there. So that 10% to my debt just rolled over to my investment. So today I give 10, 20, 70. So this is what I teach people financially. 10% goes to yourself. 20% goes to, 10%, well, if you're Christian, I tell you 10% goes to God, 20% goes to yourself, 70% goes to, you know, your expenses. If you're not, and that's totally fine, you know, you just sow a seed in the charity, whatever. But 10% needs to go to yourself. And it's your option. You can give 20% to your debt, or you can give 10% to your debt. However it is, the point here is you need to live yourself off of 80% of your income. If you can do 70% of your income, then by golly, do that, because you'll live much better. Your expenses will be low. I don't have a job because my passive income, money I make whether I wake up or not, outweighs my 70%. So I never need to work. And that's where you want to get to. So my advice to that single mom or single dad is give up your time now. Be the superhero that you're currently being. But if you're not giving 10% to yourself, you're keeping yourself from what Robert Kiyosaki calls that rat race. And you're going to always be in that rat race, and you're never going to get out of it, and you're always going to miss those soccer games. And you owe it to yourself to not having to miss your child's soccer games, or you just owe it to yourself to be able to buy a glass of wine and not have to worry about what did I take from. Right? So That's how it is. So for me, real simple, I hope you're writing this down, 10-20-70. That's what I do. 10% to God. Now, don't get offended if you're not, right, because it's not, right, I'm Christian. I am what I am, right, and I don't apologize for that. But I'm not going to try to make you be something, well, not on this podcast, try to make you be something that you're not, right? That's not what I was looking for. Well, I didn't say that, right? Not on this podcast. Right?
Oh,
but,
Lord.
You know, 10% to God, 20% to myself, right? And then 70% I live off of. If that's not you, or if you're in debt, then you do 10% to yourself, 10% to your debt, live off 80. If you say, well, I don't need to live off 80, I can live off 70, well, great. Good for you. That's excellent. 10% to your, 20% to yourself, 10% to your debt. Or you go, no, let me knock out my debt first. Fine. That's even great. 10% to yourself, 20% to your debt. But know that the 70 never changed. And when you start to get, when you start to pay off things, you start to get to where you want to get to, you'll appreciate yourself. Keep yourself at 70 or 80, and you'll always have 20 of overflow that you can invest in. And that 10% don't sound like much. Believe me, 10% over months and years adds up to where you have $30,000 in the bank. Or you want to put it in something making money for you, like stocks or high-yield bank account. Right, something, right? You want to put in something actually making money, something that you, it needs to be higher than the percentage of inflation, right? So whatever you have that 10% going into, the percentage needs to be more than inflation. If not, inflation's about 3.5%, you know, right now. If not, then you're not really saving money at all. So whatever it is needs to go higher than inflation, right? So that's the key. And do you have $30,000? You put in $20,000, but you got $30,000, and now you can go buy your own apartment complex. You can buy a small apartment complex, have 6 units, and have 6 people paying you $825 a month. $825 times 4, that's like $3,700. That's rough math. That's $3,700 a month coming in whether you work or not. So if you got $3,700 coming in whether you work or not, and your expenses are $2,000, you're retired too. Make sense, Tiffany?
Makes sense.
Outstanding. That's where we're in at right there. You might want to rewind this podcast for sure. And, yeah, you definitely might want to do that. Yeah. That's what I say.
Okay. You done?
I'm done.
Okay. Before I close, let me just, I didn't mean to put Capital One out there like that, but
well,
I was 18. Well, I'm in my feelings, as people say. I was 18, you know, in college, and Capital One was on campus one day, and, you know, oh, you can go get a credit card, blah, blah, blah. And me and my roommate ended up getting credit cards, and let's just say I'm paying for it today, and I'm 27.
Wow.
So it's not Capital One's fault. But
yeah,
Capital One's fault.
No. You just got some. Yeah, you just didn't get 100% information. That's all. No.
It's not Capital One's fault, but in my 18-year-old mind, it's Capital One's fault.
Yeah, and that's just a bad business out there. I would tell you there's a bad business. I would tell you this.
I mean, they're okay, but I'm in my feelings.
Yeah. Well, I mean, credit cards. I only have one credit card. Credit cards are not the way you. I have a credit card just because it's hard to live in America. It's hard to have the goals I want. I have the defining moments I have and want to live the life I want to live without a credit score. So I have a credit card for that reason, right? That, of course, you know, and I have a credit card for that reason, right? Of course, I have a few more things on credit because I'm a grown man, right? You know, and car and stuff, but that they're paid off and things, you know, student loans and stuff, but point is, you need credit. You can't live this life, not in the world we live in, without credit. So I only have one credit card. I don't suggest having a bunch of credit cards, but if you do,
no,
you
take it from me.
Your credit card.
You
need to keep your credit card. Well, yeah, I would suggest not having a bunch of credit cards, but your balance needs to be about 25% under your balance right now. Like, yeah. So my credit card 2 days ago was I was using 106% of my credit. Forgot about it. And, of course, I have the Mint app. So let me go ahead and mention Mint real quick. I have the Mint app, M-I-N-T, Android or whatever, Apple, go ahead and use your Mint app. Your Mint will bless you and tell you, hey, Tony, you're using 106% of your credit. So I paid off my credit card, right, because I was using my credit card. And so it's all, it's a 0% now. But point is, that's terrible on your credit, right? So I probably dropped like 40 points in credit score to go back up next month. But you get the point here. Don't do that. That's a bad, bad thing to use 106% of your credit. That's terrible. That's credit suicide. Don't do that. So that's okay. It. That's all I got.
But I just want to throw that out there just in case, you know.
No, I'm glad you did, because we're
Capital One CEO is listening. I don't want to bash your company, but, you know.
Yeah, see, he was going to sponsor me, right? He was going to sponsor me and let me be the spokesman, or she, could be a she, was gonna, he or she was going to sponsor me, let me be a spokesman, buy 10,000 copies of the book, and you know, no, we're just joking, no. If there's a bad company out there, right, then I, you know, doing immoral stuff, I will kill you, right, because that's what we're here for, but no, that's not. So that's it. Go ahead and close it out.
Well, thank you for tuning in to this week's Brick by Brick. If you love what you just heard or have questions or comments, please leave us a comment. Rate us and leave a comment. We both read our comments every day, actually. So please, we want to hear from you. We love feedback. If you would like to learn more about Antonio T. Smith Jr., or if you hear him called as Rev Tony, visit us on our website at revtony.org. That's revtony.org. Purchase his book, Keep Walking. It's available nationwide in bookstores, or you can also order it online through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iTunes. And thanks for tuning in.
All right. Well, as always, guys, keep walking and remember, keep smiling. It looks good on your face.
Wherever you are in life, whether you're a millionaire or you're just starting out, whether you believe in yourself or not, whether you have self-assurance or low self-esteem, whether you cry yourself to sleep at night or you're on top of the world, we want to help you become a better you, because we believe that God has something greater in store just for you. Whether you're a church member or not, corporate world or not, we want to see you succeed in life. Tune in to us next week as we continue helping you be a better you.